Liz can assist. Just hold on 2 seconds. Thank you.
So from what we have discussed, seeing as we can't save money off the council offices, can we save money from the frequency with which councillors sit down for a meeting? There's been a lot of emergency councillor meetings called that were not meant to be emergency councillor meetings.
Can you give me an example? Because I can't recall an emergency council meeting.
Which is the jetties.
No, we didn't have an emergency council meeting for that. The jetties issue came to the next council meeting, but there wasn't an actual official council meeting during that period.
There was. Honourable Genjo set up a meeting to actually, when you ended up agreeing to restoring one of the jetties, we discussed it in the community briefing and nothing was done. Then you called up an emergency meeting and decided you'll keep one of the two.
No, I'm sorry, you must be mistaken, because we didn't have an emergency meeting about that.
I think what he's confused about is because we had the community meeting in Ashfield,
the briefing session,
and then we had the council meeting.
So what Councillor Ganjil is saying is that possibly you're thinking that the briefing session that I know you attended at the Ashfield Community Centre, then the following week we had the council meeting. So that's our regular program of meetings. So the way that we operate is on the week preceding the monthly council meeting, we have that briefing session. Ordinarily, that has traditionally been held at the council chambers, but this year we've been, and last year I should say, we've been taking that meeting out to the community in an effort to reach more people who wouldn't normally attend the chambers here. And the purpose of that is for councillors to hear from our staff, to ask questions and make sure that we're well informed for the decision-making meeting the following week. So that wasn't an additional meeting, that is part of our decision-making process that we go through on a monthly basis.
Not really, because you wasted ratepayers' money from not deciding. You did not get any extra information between the two meetings.
So the purpose of the briefing sessions is never to make a decision. It's about having informed decision making the following week and making sure that if there's additional information we require, we can ask that of the staff, and to provide opportunities for us to speak to community members and so on. In terms of cost saving, councillors aren't paid per meeting for attendance, and our executive staff, I don't believe, get paid extra for attending after hours, so there's not an additional cost to the town for having the briefing session.
Oh, so we can have council meetings every day.
Oh, we have a lot of council meetings.
Beautiful, we'll do that then. It's just that we said they discussed that issue in its entirety and no one stood up and said anything about those jetties. And then a couple of days later, one of the jetties had to be saved. So it's double handling.
I'm sorry, maybe we can have a conversation about this later, because I'm not really completely following what you're saying. My understanding is that it came to the briefing session, there was a discussion about what council wanted to do with the jetties. So for those people in the room who might not be aware, last year the two jetties at Point Reserve were inspected, and when the inspection was conducted, it was found that the state of the jetties was far worse than had been anticipated because of termite damage, and as a result the jetties were closed as a safety precaution to prevent members of our community from accessing them and hurting themselves. Beyond that, the first time council had a decision to make was about what to do next, and at the next council meeting the decision was made that we wanted to reinstate those jetties. So currently the town is going through the process of having them assessed and a new design done for one of the jetties, and an assessment of the other jetty is being conducted as well, in anticipation of us being able to apply for grant money in future to reinstate the jetties as soon as possible.
Yep, pretty much what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Why did you take two meetings? You had all this information on the
session. I think the confusion is around the purpose of the meetings. So the first meeting you're referring to was a briefing session where we can't make decisions. It's not a formal meeting of council. That is something that we voluntarily do because we want to make sure that we're making good decisions with all of the information. The following meeting, which is the council meeting, the next week, is the only time when council meets formally that decisions can be made. So it's the different functions, one being a formal meeting for decisions and the other one just being an information gathering exercise. Does that make sense? Most councils operate like that. Occasionally, councils will have the briefing session on the same night as the council meeting. And in the past, Bassendean has done that. But that's not an ideal situation, because what it means is that if there is additional information required prior to a decision being made, there's not adequate time for that to be sourced. So a number of years ago, it was changed so that the briefing was moved a week earlier than the council meeting to make sure that decisions are well informed.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Just thought it was double handling.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And if it was double handling, it's a really good thing to consider. But no, I think it's a really important part of the decision-making process. Thank you, Mark. Hold on, we'll see if anyone else has a question before you go again, Mr. Bridges. Were there any other people who haven't yet had the opportunity to ask a question that wish to do so? Okay, you're up, Mr. Bridges.
Thanks, Renee. Look, just to answer the gentleman's question on the finances, and you said that, you know, the councillors should be all across this. Well, rest assured that they were across it, and the evidence is before your eyes. There's a new CEO and a new management team. So they were well across it, and I compliment the councillors on that action. But my question is once again on the Municipal Heritage Inventory, and as a quick one before I get to the substance, have the 48 properties been listed for protection under the town planning scheme?
Thank you, Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, the heritage list, which exists under the local planning scheme, was updated in May 2018.
So those 48 properties are listed under the town planning scheme.
That's
and
correct.
Have protection?
That's correct.
Okay, fine. Thank you. That was the issue that I was trying to get to last time, and it was being dragged out. Now, in the same motion from May of last year, or it might have even been the year before, there was supposed to be there was money allocated to develop heritage incentives to get the category threes to the category twos if they wanted to do that. Now, money was allocated for that, and money was also allocated for streetscape guidelines for the heritage areas near the top end of town. Now, the money was taken out of both of those and went into Bassendream. Now, that was a good thing. Mind you, the results of Bassendream were really no different to the community heritage survey done a year or so before, but you would have got extra information, so it's not a bad thing. Now, at the time, Brian Reed, who's now no longer with us, said that the heritage incentives could be done in-house, and I totally agree with that, and I understand that it would have gone to the Design Bassendean Committee had there not been a bomb scare. I'm interested in the streetscape guidelines. Has any money been allocated for that? There was discussion about, in your budget review, getting that done. And I'd point out, in terms of the shared values, heritage and character came within the top 90% of what people wanted. Now, that money was diverted off to give you the same answer again, and I'm wondering whether you are seriously considering the streetscape guidelines for the heritage areas that were flagged in the Municipal Heritage Inventory.
So I think your question related to whether it was being considered at the budget review. So council is yet to do the budget review, so I can't answer whether council is going to support that. I would imagine that it may be presented for the next year's budget rather than the budget review.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. All that history does is an accurate reflection on what's occurred thus far. Our current priority is clearly the review of the local planning framework.
Of course.
So it would be reasonable, I think, that any specific built form guidance or any heritage incentives become a function of that strategic review rather than preempt it.
Well, you're already going ahead with the heritage incentives because you're presenting something to Design Bassendean. So
the heritage incentives, there's been no money allocated to that task. Brian Reed, the former manager, did say that could be developed in-house.
Yep.
That could be done. That hasn't been meaningfully progressed at this stage. As I say, the focus is on the review of the local planning framework.
Right.
as part of the review of that local planning strategy, it may well be that the provision of heritage incentives becomes a new subservient project. But at the moment, there's been little progress on that matter in itself.
All right. Okay. Thanks. Now, when I first got up, you did say that people could have two questions, and
I don't think there's anybody else waiting. So if you have a third, you're welcome to ask it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Climate change is upon us. We all know that. Some councils get a little bit alarmed and say, "Oh, we've got a climate emergency," and declare a climate emergency. I don't think we need to go down that path. We pretty much know what we need to what the implications are from all the studies that have been done. Now, the street tree planting program, and I do compliment this council because it scrapped the street tree master plan, which was entirely inadequate. I do have some concerns that how well this program is going to be implemented, because I note in my street, which is West Road, some of the newly planted trees are very seriously in decline. So what I'm interested in is, given that the town has flagged an aspirational 70% canopy cover, what are the measures of success that you're putting in place? I know you know the council has allocated extra funding, but if that's not hitting the ground in a way that can be measured, I mean, you might want to roll it into your KPIs for your CEO. But how are you looking at doing that? And the other big climate change issue, which just hasn't been addressed and wasn't addressed in the brief for Bindarring Park, was rising sea levels. Now, the brief severely restricted the consultant to just putting treatment at the drain outlets and putting pathways in. It wasn't holistic in any way. And those of us in Friends of Bindarring Wetland have observed already that the sea level, the rising sea, is bringing salt into the park, and there's changes to the ecology. Now, that's going to bring a further complication in that with salt coming in, you'll then have to treat that park for mosquitoes, which you don't have to do now with the freshwater values protected. So that's an area where we need to be proactive and not just take this landscape plan which has been given to us, but look holistically at addressing the impact of climate change without declaring a climate emergency.
Thank you. So just a couple of points that I haven't mentioned before. So you talked about the street trees. Something I failed to mention earlier was that we now have a street tree officer. So they've started, I think, in January. And so part of their role is to go around and have a look at the existing trees that we have, see which ones are growing well, which ones aren't, and really assess, you know, what's happening. So that person's going to be a really valuable resource to us to make sure that the street tree planting program is a success.
Who is that person?
I haven't met them yet. I know his name's Luke. That's all I know.
Oh, two Lukes.
Two Lukes. I know Phil Adams as well is working on an overarching street tree plan. I'm not sure where he's up to with that. He's got a lot of things on his plate, but that is definitely a priority for council. And it's interesting that you mentioned CEO KPIs, because tomorrow night we are talking about that, and trees is something that is high on our priority list, so you may well be right.
And just a quick one, are we still pruning our street trees to the property line and the road boundary? I know this came up at the...
Yes, and we've brought this up recently as well, because the contract for the street tree pruning came up recently, and it was something that I raised with Phil, who is obviously quite new to the town, about the concerns that you and others, and that I also share, about the way that some of our street trees have been pruned. And if we're aiming to get canopy over our streets and our footpaths by pruning to the property line and the road line, we're never going to achieve
that's
that.
Right.
So I was given assurances that there would be conversations with the contractors and oversight of their work to ensure that where it's possible that the pruning would meet the town's expectations. Am I reflecting accurately our conversation?
Yeah, I'd rather directions to the consultants rather than the tree pruners.
Oh yes, I think that is what is happening. Is there anything that you feel we need to add to that?
Right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Has anybody changed their mind? Yes, Mr. Busby, our last question. Pardon?
I don't want to let Paul outdo me. No, no, I won't. I haven't got a uniform. Just following through on Emily's thing with youth and girls and sports, from my point of view, if we can get 10-year-old kids involved in playing sport, Obviously, I'm keen on the world game. Sam Kerr's played at Ashfield going back a few years. And if we can get funding for women's sport, we can help those girls at risk, because just the other day, the public toilets were closed at 5, 6pm. At about 8 or 10, native girls come through to use the toilets. A couple of them were a little bit dishevelled, which was fine. And I don't know if the toilets could be left open a bit longer at night. Is there an issue there? I didn't know they were locked up at that time of night. I thought they were about 7 o'clock. We don't mind them coming through. We'd just like some guidance back from the ranger, whether we should allow them in or not. If they're known, we're happy with them. There's not wasn't an issue. But if we're going to take care of some of these girls, we might need some cooperation from people that know more than we do. Because we don't want to say to them, you're not allowed in here. It's a club for us and things like that. But if we can get more support from the councillors and the staff on youth sport, girls particularly, we've got no facilities for girls to change at the club rooms. And we've got a couple of girls' teams playing and doing a tremendous job. Some young girls at 15, 14 have joined, etc. We can get fee support from the town of Basney, would be great. And also just on the maintenance side, the other day, I had a couple of electricians giving us a hand as volunteers to hang some lights for the Wonder Realm, which was good. And right down the middle, right out front here, there's some lights not working. It just, as I was sitting there, it just occurred to me. And the story we got told secondhand was that they've been hung up months ago. They've never worked since they were hung up. And it's just external. So when we go out tonight, we can check. I've got a witness to verify it. He was standing watching the electricians. So if we could get that, it just seems to me that if people are doing stuff, somebody's got to sign off on what they've done. A phone call was made, and the guy was told for him to fix the lights, he'd have to get traffic management and goodness knows what else.
Right. So the lights that Mr. Busby's referring to is the festoon lighting that was down Old Perth Road. So that was something that Councillor Gangell particularly advocated for in the last year. And when it was installed, that particular string of lights that you're referring to, the contractor installed there, which was never the intention, and there wasn't the power supply in that location. It was done at no cost to the town. They then went and installed the lights where we had actually asked for and left that string of lights where you saw them not working. I'm not sure exactly what's unfolded since then, but I'm aware that last week there were some conversations about whether or not we could get them to work, and I'm not sure what the outcome of that was, but it wasn't the fact that we paid for something that was never working. It was an error on the contractor's part that was identified, and they delivered what was required.
Would those globes become a target for kids to just throw stones at them if they're not working? I don't know. It is what it is, but for $500 I get it fixed. That was the electrician that told me that cost.
Thank you. Okay, so now we'll move on. So 6.2 on the agenda is the opportunity, if there are people who would like to move a motion at tonight's meeting, to do so. So again, if you're familiar with this, I'm sure many of you are, but there may be people in the room who aren't familiar with how this works. So the Local Government Act outlines how motions are to operate in this particular kind of meeting. So anyone who's an elector of the town is able to move a motion. The motion needs to have a seconder for it to be able to be debated and voted on. If you wish to debate a motion, you have 2 minutes each to do so. And then when everybody has spoken who wishes to, a vote is taken, which is done by the raising of hands. You're not obliged to vote, but through raising of hands, it's so that nobody's vote is secret. And then if there are any motions presented that are carried by this group, they will be considered at the next council meeting. So motions aren't binding on council, but what I can guarantee is that if anything is passed tonight, it will definitely be considered by council. And even if we're not able to implement it, because sometimes there are other implications or there are other priorities, it will certainly be something that is in our mind and considered for future. So is there anybody who has a burning desire to present a motion this evening? There you go, I didn't need to do all that preamble for you, did I? Thank you. So before we finish tonight then, I just want to thank you all once again for being here this evening, but also for your support and your contribution that you make to the town. We do have a great place to live. I think we've got some great opportunities ahead in the coming year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what we can all do together as a community. So thank you everybody, and good evening.